the Strode family next Saturday night. At faith. All right, thank you. Let's remember that then, a benefit singing at Faith next Saturday night, 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock. I want to ask your prayers again today, and I want to just encourage everyone to follow the Lord and what he would have you to do today. I want to share some scripture with you from the Gospel according to Luke. If you would, turn to the third chapter, the Gospel according to Luke. I want to begin reading in chapter 3 with verse 3. What I'm going to be reading today is Luke's account concerning John the Baptist. So in Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." And I'm going to stop my reading there with verse 18, having read from Luke chapter 3, verses 3 through verse 18. I want you to notice with me for a moment, in brief summary, the events that were taking place here, what was happening and what I read about. First of all, I want to point out that we had a man here bringing a message of truth. There were people that had gathered to hear it. So much the same as the setting that we have here today. There were people that had come to hear what this preacher had to say. And I want to use a title today, and that being Great Expectations. Great Expectations. And I want to ask you today to focus, as you think about what the setting was here, about this man bringing forth the message, about the fact that people had gathered to listen. They were also making inquiry. What should we do? And in verse 15, it said, "And as the people were in expectation." And that's what I want to speak about before you here today, about great expectation. We ought to have it. Sometimes I'm afraid that perhaps we don't. We know that from what we have read here today, we know that this group of people that had gathered there on that day, we know from the very words that were spoken concerning them, that they were assembled in expectation. That we know. But we could ask the question today, many years later, as we have assembled here today for worship, we could ask the question today, have we gathered this morning? Are we a group of people assembled together here today in great expectation? You may think that it's a strange question, but I want to ask you something today. Why are you here? Why did you come? There are a lot of places today that you could have went. I'm glad you're here. I certainly don't want you to go someplace else. I'm thankful that you're here. But I want to ask you today, and we can only answer this individually in our own hearts. I want you to ask yourself today, why am I here? Are you here today? Is it habit? Would your answer be today? And perhaps the question would be better stated and better understood if I were to ask what frame of mind or what type of attitude have you come here with today? And so if I were to ask the question, would it be answered? And you answered it for yourself, would it be, well, preacher, it's Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. I'm here today out of duty. I feel like it's my duty to be here. And certainly those things are true. I think we do have a duty to assemble. I believe we are scripturally bound to assemble ourselves together. I would like to think that we would be driven by more than duty. I would like to think that our assembly would be prompted by a great love that we have for the Lord Jesus and a great desire in our hearts to unite in worship, to exalt His name, to lift Him up. But I do believe that we have a duty to assemble. And for those as God's children and members of His church, in making the choice from time to time to just not assemble, you're breaking God's commandments. The Bible told us to do it. His word teaches us to do that. You know, in the recipe for faith, expectation is a really important ingredient. You ever think about that? These people that we have read about in these verses here, they had expectation of something there that day. We read here that their great expectation, many of them anyway, had come to figure out who this man actually was. Some question when John the Baptist showed up on the scene with this new ordinance that they had not seen before and preaching this message of repentance, some of them questioned whether or not he was the Christ. Now, John was very quick to let them know that he was not. He was very quick to let the people know that there was somebody coming after him that was mightier than he was. But I wanted to say today, as I said a moment ago, that expectation has a great deal to do with faith. When you pray, I want you to think about this. When you pray, when you go before God and you pour your heart out to the Lord, when you go before him and you make your petitions known unto God, when you go to him in prayer and you ask him for things, you ask God to perhaps bless someone that you love, or perhaps to bless you in some way, in some situation in your life, you look to him for guidance. And when you do this, when you go to God in prayer that way, when you conclude your prayer, how do you feel about that? Do you leave saying, well, you know, maybe the Lord will do that, I don't know. Maybe he'll do what I ask of him. But I think if our faith is what it ought to be, when we go to God and we pray for something and we ask him for something, when we conclude our prayer, our heart will be of the attitude, well, I'll be expecting to see that here pretty soon. I believe that God would have us to be that way, that he would have us to expect great things of him, because he is a great God, that he would have us to have great expectations of him performing that we ask. You know, God has a great desire, and this is proven to us so many ways throughout the scriptures. If you want to see a great example of it, just go back and study about God's deliverance of his people from Egypt. God has a great desire to make known his power among his people. He wants to display it. He wants to show it. It wasn't only when God used his power through those plagues in Egypt. I promise you that it was not only to show his power unto the Pharaoh, it was to show his power to his people. He wanted Israel to see his power. I'm afraid that oftentimes, and I know, and I want to make this known, I want to confess this, I know that there are times when God just shocks us and we just stand in awe. There are things that God does that just, they're like out of nowhere, and we're just shocked.
But think about this. When Herod was persecuting the church, and you can read about in the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles how that James had already lost his head, how that they still had Peter in prison, and it was their intention after the Passover to put him to death. And the church began to pray for him. They began to lift up their voices to the Lord and pray for the deliverance of the Apostle Peter. And when God came down and delivered him from the prison, and he showed up there at the house of Rhoda, and they were just amazed that he was standing outside the gate. I mean, that damsel was so amazed that at first she didn't even let him in. She just ran and told the others that Peter was here. And when she told them that, some of them said, well, surely it must be his angel. They weren't even really convinced that he was there. Why do you suppose that was? I mean, if they were praying and they were asking God for him to deliver Peter in that way, should not they have had great expectation of what happened? But the same thing happens to us, doesn't it? We pray. We ask God to bless in a certain way. We ask God to do things. And then oftentimes when we see those things unfold, it's as if we are surprised that it happened. Now, we stand in awe of God, and I know that. But when we pray, we ought to anticipate and expect that God is going to bless. And I believe that's a huge ingredient in our faith. Faith is not only believing in God's ability to do something. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want to say this to you. You don't need to only believe that God can save you. You need to believe that He will. And when we pray as God's people, when we pray, our faith should go beyond just believing that God is able to do something. We ought to be expecting that God will perform it. And that He will do it. We serve a mighty God. You know that today, Fairview Memorial? We serve a mighty God. We serve the God today that made heaven and earth. We serve the God today that once divided a sea and allowed His people safe passage across on dry ground. We serve a God today that delivered three men one day out of a raging fiery furnace without even the smell of smoke on them when He brought them out. We serve that God. We serve the God that blessed a man one day that was His servant by the name of Daniel, that when he spent the night in a den of hungry lions, he came out without a tooth mark on him anywhere. We serve that God. We serve the God of heaven, the God that has all power and all in heaven and in earth. And I promise you today, you remember in the Bible, oftentimes when God would appear to someone, when He spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, you know what He told him? He said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. And you know that today, that's still the same for us. I know the God today that Abraham knew. I know the God that Isaac knew. I know the God that Jacob knew. We know the God today that spoke to Moses from the bush that was burning and not consumed. That's the God that we know. He hasn't changed, and he won't. We read, we have something that people that lived many, many years ago didn't have. We have the completed scriptures. We can read about the things that God has wrought by his power. We have access to that today in its completion. And we, not only in what we read, but we know. You know, I don't want to ever get caught up in be more about what I read than what I experience, what I feel experimentally. But we've got both. We've got both. We've got that today that we are able to read about. And today I realize, as I stand here among you today and bring before you the Word of God, I realize that I am among people today that have experienced in their lives the working of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Brother Jackson, we know what he can do, don't we? We know it. We felt it and experienced it and seen it work in our lives. Oh, we ask questions. We ask so many questions of ourselves. We ask questions oftentimes. I know that you've heard the same questions that I have. We oftentimes we question ourselves, what's wrong with us? You know, sometimes we just get cold and indifferent, don't we? Sometimes it seems that we are like those bones that Ezekiel saw there when God gave him that vision of the valley of dry bones. Sometimes it just seems like, as God's people, that we just dry up and we're not excited and we don't anticipate. The question has been asked many times, you know, why have there been things among us that have changed so much? Why don't we hear and see people get happy in the services the way that they once did? Why don't we see the people of God shout the house down and rejoice in the Lord as often as we used to see those things? There are all kinds of questions, but let me ask you this. When you came this morning to the house of God, when you came here this morning to worship the Lord, did you come expecting that God would pass by? Did you come expecting today that God would manifest his power among us through the Holy Spirit? Did you expect today that God would fire up your soul and make you shout his praises? I think sometimes you're entitled to your opinion today. I've got mine. I think sometimes we receive little because we expect little. If we placed our faith in the Lord the way that we ought to, if we had that expectation, if we exercise that faith that expects things, we'd be amazed, wouldn't we, at what we would see? You know, when David, and I gave a lot of thought to this, I thought about myself. I thought about all of us. I thought about yesterday in the daytime. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, I wonder if God allows us to meet tomorrow. If it's God's will for time to go on and he allows us to meet in our church service tomorrow, I wonder what will be on our minds. I wonder what we'll have on our hearts. I wonder if we will come together and be a people that are bound together by great expectations of what God will do among us. I wonder if we will have our hearts and minds fixed upon those that are lost and that our faith will be such that we will meet in his house tomorrow expecting those that are lost to find the Lord, and that we might be able to hear the shouts of praise from newborn souls. I wondered about that. I still pray that God will bring it to pass. I wondered if we would assemble. I mean, I wondered if we would really come together expecting God to give us a victory. Wouldn't you love to see it today? Wouldn't you love to see Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church on this day, April 6th, 2008, in our Sunday morning service? Wouldn't you love to see God give us great victory here today? I know we all would. I know the church. I don't believe there's a member of the church here that wouldn't love to see that. I think we would all readily confess, yes, I would love to see that, but we have to ask ourselves the question, did we anticipate it? Did we expect it? Did our faith take us to the point that we expect that to happen among us? I'll tell you what, when David went out to fight Goliath, you read that, you read it again. When David went out to fight Goliath, he had expectations of how it was going to turn out. He was trusting God so much that when he faced the giant, he said to the giant, he said, you know, you come to me with a spear, you come to me with a sword, you come to me with all of this armor, all of these weapons, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And you go back there and you read the account of that, and you'll find out that David told that giant, he said, this day, today, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hands. David knew that he didn't have the strength in himself. He was expecting, I mean, he faced the giant with full expectation and full anticipation that God wasn't going to let him down, that God was going to stand with him, that it was going to be that very day that the Lord was going to deliver this giant into his hands. And David went out there fully persuaded that God was going to give him a victory that very day. I also thought about Elijah and Elisha. I thought about how that Elijah told Elisha, he said, I need you to wait here. You tarry here because the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha would have nothing to do with it. Wherever you go, I'll go. I'll go with you. And so he went with him to Bethel. And then Elijah told him, he said, tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And the same response from Elisha, he said, I'll go with you. And when Elijah told him, he said, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And Elisha, the same response, well, I will go with you. You think about how that Elisha was hanging on to him, how that he was clinging to him, how that he wasn't going to be left behind. Don't you believe that Elisha was expecting to see great things from God that day? I sure do. I believe he was anticipating and he was expecting that he was going to see something, some great display of God's power. Why did Jacob cling so hard when he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord? Why wouldn't he let him go? You know, a wrestler's strength, I know this for sure, that a wrestler's doesn't depend upon his upper body strength nearly as much as he does his the strength of his legs, the strength of his hips. That's very important in the sport of wrestling. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, he touched him and he put his hip out of joint, but he still held on to him. He still clung to him. I mean, he just would not let him go. Don't you believe that Jacob had great expectation? If I just hang on, I'm going to see something. I'm going to see something happen. I'm going to see God do something great if I will just hold on. When you came today, before you came today, did you seek the Lord in prayer? Did you find a place and talk to God and ask Him for things? And when you did you leave expecting that they would be done? It's important, isn't it? Amen? I mean, it's important for us to ask, and it's important for us to expect that God will certainly perform that we ask of Him. Jesus said, ask, and whatsoever you ask, if you ask believing, I'll do it. Didn't He promise that? Sure He did. I want to ask you, if you're here today and you're lost, why'd you come? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? Did you come today to sit through another church service? Did you come today to try to survive it? Did you come today thinking, well, it may bother me, but I'll make it through? What's on your heart? Did you come today with great anticipation and great expectation? This will be the day that I find the Lord. Sinner, I pray that's on your heart today. This will be the day. I believe that God will deliver me today. When you come to Him, you need to come to Him that way. You need to come to Him. You need to come today. As I said earlier, if you're lost today, then you need salvation today. You may not have it tomorrow. Tomorrow is promised to no one. You may have it, you may not. Only God knows that. Your life may be gone before this day is over, and where are you going to be? I heard Brother Curtis this morning on the old-fashioned gospel hour. He was hammering it out about hell this morning and how real that it is. And sinner, it is real. There is a devil's hell. It burns with unquenchable fire. And all those that die, lost and without God, go there. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter how good of a family that you had. You must be born again. And that's the only thing that'll get you to heaven. Nothing else will work. You've got to come to God not only believing that He can save you. You need to come to God believing that He will do it. Trusting that He will speak peace to your soul. We need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we need that faith. We need that trust that leads us to the point that we expect God to bless our souls. We expect God to hear our prayers. We need to gather. When we assemble, we need to be just like those people there that day on the banks of the Jordan River. We need to be assembled in great expectation and anticipation of what God will do. We need to be like David when he stood before Goliath. We need to be convinced that today God is going to give us great victory. We need to be like Jacob was when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, we know that if we hold on, we can expect great blessings from the Lord. Today, as we stand and have a song, if you're here today and you're lost, I want to urge you today to give heed to the condition of your soul. I mean with urgency. You know, there's an urgency to being saved. There really is. We can find that message throughout the Bible. We can find it throughout history. We can find where people have gone out and they have told people with great urgency, repent and trust the Lord. Do it now. Seek Him now. Isaiah said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. There's an urgency to that. And I want to ask us to stand and sing. Bless you, Sister Motes. Let's stand and sing.
241.